So by me, by me, by me, shvot hashoftim, by he, ra'av, ba'aretz, by lech, ish mi beit lechem Yehuda, lagur, bistei moav, hu v'ishto shnei banav. So you want me to read the first Rashi?
No, first translate the pasuk.
Okay, so by he, so was, me shvot hashoftim, in the days of the judges?
The days of the judging of the judges.
Judging the judges.
The days when the judges judge. Okay.
So, and there is a famine in the land, and a man walked from Beit Lechem.
Well, he did not say went, walked,
Beit Lechem.
Went.
Me Beit Lechem, okay. Me Beit Lechem, Yehuda, Lagor Besdeimov. So, the man was Yehuda.
No.
No?
A man went from the town of Beit Lechem in the area of the tribe of Yehuda.
Okay. To live, to reside in Bistei Moav, in the fields of Moav, and him and his wife and his two sons.
Okay, Rashi.
Okay, Vahibi Meisvot Hashoftim. So it was in the days where the judges judged. Alifnei Maloch Shaloshe Hayu Hadarot Mitarf Nasim Al Yedei Shoftim. We may at San Hayash Shamru Rabotinu Efsenze Boaz. Okay, so before the kingship of Shaul,
before Shaul ruled,
right? Sheyu, the generations,
Mitparnasim in this context means they were governed.
They were governed by the. Oh, okay, so Shaul was our first king,
right?
And before then, they were governed by the Shoftim. Okay,
right.
Ubime Ebsan Hayasham Rabotina Ebsan Ze Boaz. Not sure what an Ebsan is.
Ivtsan is one of the Shoftim who are mentioned in Sefer Shoftim.
Okay. So it's saying that Boaz was Ivtsan.
That's right. This is the days of Ivtsan, because I'll say that Boaz and Ivtsan are the same person. Okay, now let's take this little Rashi apart.
How in the world did that come up?
What?
How in the world did that come up from that?
Okay. take a few seconds.
Okay.
Read through this Rashi and tell me things in Pshat that Rashi clarified. Whatever you can pick up.
So first of all, when does root happen, like background? When is like Mesachar or not?
All right, he tells us the historical background.
Right.
And I'll grant you that that is a pshat question, because I can see Rashi doing that. I seem to recall Rashi doing that in other places also, just giving you a historical background.
Mm-hmm.
Good, he's doing that. He's doing more too.
Doesn't the word Vayhi mean like something bad?
Generally, that's true, but I don't see Rashi being. First of all, that's not on the Pshat level generally.
Oh.
That's already Drash. I don't see Rashi relating to that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Medrash related to that.
Because I think Megillah Esther also started like that. Vayhi b'Meach.
That's right, and that's where the Medrash 1 point mentioned it. That's right.
Uh-huh.
All right, let me give you one thing that I think it's pretty obvious as to what Rashi's doing. This verb, shvot, shoftim, that root, shin pei tes, what does it usually mean, that verb?
That judge.
Yeah, that's what it usually means.
Right.
You'll notice that Rashi uses, when he uses a paraphrase, and he uses a different verb to explain instead of shin pei tet,
mit farnsim,
which we translated
as he ruled over,
yeah, or to govern, to lead,
right.
Govern, to lead. Ah, so that's one thing Rashi is telling you. This isn't talking about what the shoftim did in court.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean when the judges were judging. It doesn't mean when cases were coming before them. It means when the judges were governing. That shvot means, and that's not a common meaning of the verb. So that's one thing Rashi is.
It's elaborating that they weren't just judging, they were also governing, meaning putting laws forth. making the...
That's right, making the decisions, he governs. Yeah, do what a ruler's supposed to do. Okay, so that's one thing Rashi does. The other thing he does, I think, is a little bit more subtle. If I didn't know history, and if people didn't tell me the story of Rus in second grade, all right, let's say I'm just coming to this text for the first time, and I see this term, it was in the days when the judges judged. You know what my impression would be?
Yeah, this is a book from Shoftim.
Well, I don't know. But when I think in the days when the judges judged, I would think that there was a committee. That was more than one judge judging. Right? So Rashi says, no. This is referring to a long historical period. All the way from the beginning when the Jews lived in Israel, all the way to the time that Shoal, you know, it's a long period. And there was only one judge at any given period. And that explains why Rashi says, Ibtson is Boaz. Because you look, if Ibtson is Boaz, then there was only, and Sefer Shoftim, there was only one ruler. So it doesn't mean this was some period when there was a committee of judges ruling. Okay.
All right, so next Rashi, Vaylach Ish. So we translate it as the man went, not necessarily. Okay. So Asher Gadol Haya, Ufarnas Hador. So Vetze Me Eretz Yisrael La Chutza Arts Nifnei Sarota Ein Chaita Enei Sara Banaim
Anim Banim.
Okay. So Banim Havim Leduchan
Leduchako
Leduchako Lekach Nanes
Ne'enash
Ne'enash. Okay, so he was very rich. Farnas. Oh, and he governed.
He was the governor of the generation.
And he went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. Because of the suffering.
Tsarus Ayin literally means narrowness of the eye, but it means miserliness. He left Eretz Yisrael for Chutz La'aretz because of miserliness.
Which is like poor people?
Stinginess.
Stinginess.
Okay. Yeah.
Sharta Inoy Sarah Banim Habaim. Because in Israel.
Habaim Ludochako.
Yeah. Because in Israel there were these miserly.
He was stingy towards the Aniyim who were coming to pressure him.
And Lekachna Anas.
Ne'anash. That's why he was
punished. Because he left, because he wouldn't just help the poor people.
Right. He should have stuck around, but he capped out. All right. So now, to appreciate what Rashi is accomplishing here, I think we should read the next pasuk too.
Okay. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech, v'shem ishto Naomi, v'shem shnei benav, Machlon ve'kilyon Ephratim mibet lachem Yehuda v'yavu shtei Moab v'hisham. Okay. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Machlon ve'Chilion. They were Ephratim.
Well, Rashi's going to define what that means, but two translations. One is they were like nobles, aristocrats, okay. And the other is they came from the town of Ephrat, which is Beit Lechem, another name from Beit Lechem.
Beit Lechem. Okay, and or aristocrats from Beit Lechem, Yehuda, in the tribal area of Yehuda.
Right.
And they went to the fields of Moab, and they were there.
Okay, so now...
So I thought we already talked about Moab.
And
Rashi doesn't bring that?
No, we didn't. Rashi didn't... We didn't mention Moab before.
So this is the first pasuk, like, Gur b'stei Moab.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Vayavo stei Moab. Right. That's a good question. And Rashi doesn't ask that question.
Yeah.
I know other Mephoshim do. I don't know why Rashi didn't ask that one. It's his kind of question.
Right, that's why I was surprised.
Okay, yeah, agreed, that's a good question. Especially because I know there are other places where Rashi does things like that. And also, just the phrase itself, they came to the field of Moab and they were there. What does that mean, and they were there? Of course, they came here, they were there. What does it mean? These are the kind of questions you expect Rashi to deal with. He doesn't. That's a puzzle. That's a puzzle. But, now that you know the information in this pasuk, that this man's name was Elimelech.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now go back to that earlier Rashi on the first pasuk,
okay,
and tell me when Rashi made that comment, what was he clarifying?
Oh, that wasn't Elimelech governing.
Well, that's true. He said that Ibsan Boaz was the
right.
and now in Elimelech, you know, he left. But what's the problem of Pshat? He's commenting on the words Vayelech Ish, a man went.
That one.
What's problematic about the words a man went?
Because he didn't go. He also went with his family. Vayelech Ish.
Well, he also went with his family. But so what's wrong with saying a man went? Okay. So you know what I'd say? I think this whole first pasuk, you could have made this, these two pasukim much more concise.
Mm-hmm.
He started off, a man went, and the next pasuk gives away his name. The man's name was Elimelech. And he said, he went to live, Vayelech Lagur B'Shdei Moav. He went to live in the fields of Moav. Why can't it just say, there was a man from Beis Lechem, and Elimelech from Beis Lechem lived in the fields of Moab. If he lived there, I know he went there. And why do we have to say he was a man and his name was Elimelech? Just tell me he's Elimelech and I know he's not a woman. You know, what's the... Ah. So, what's wrong? If those are the questions, I can see what the solutions are. Rashi says, Vayelech Ish. First of all, this is a rule in Rashi that he doesn't really spell out here, but I think he's relying on. And that the word ish connotes a man of importance.
Okay.
Okay? So here, Ashir Gadol Oya, he was very rich. Uparnas Ador, he was a leader of the generation. Vayotza me Eretz Yisrael l'chutzal ha'aretz v'vnei tzarvus ha'ayin. He left Eretz Yisrael to chutzal ha'aretz because of stinginess. Because he was stingy towards the poor who came to pressure him. L'kach ne'enash. That is why he was punished. So you know what Vayelech Ish is? Vayelech Ish is expressing
not a
he didn't just live in Chutz La'aretz, he left. Vayelech Ish. That's important. He shouldn't have left.
Could it also be that it says Ish because after he left he was a man of non-importance? Because
but I don't know if Ish ever connotes non-importance. I don't know, and the truth is the next pasuk says that he died. I don't know
But by saying Ish, it's not saying a name.
Ah, you mean
it doesn't
want to mention his name. It's like an insult to him.
Right.
Could be. But now Rashi's saying, this pasuk tells you it was Avera. And look at the last words of Rashi. Take a look at it inside. He left the chutzlars because he was stingy. Lekach ne'enash. That's why he was punished.
Right.
You know what Rashi's saying here, part of it, in those words? You see, look at Pasuk Gimel.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Vayomas Elimelech Nishnami." Elimelech died. Elimelech Nomi's husband died. So, it doesn't tell you why he died, right? Rashi says, "Yeah, this Vayelech Ish." My pshat is this means he did an aveira by going, and that Rashi says that fits really good because that explains why he was punished.
Right?
Because you just read this Pesukim. What did he do wrong? What did he die for all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Rashi says, no! The Pasuk in Vayelech Ish is stressing he shouldn't have gone.
Right, because it was excessive. I don't know.
It was what?
Like that Vayelech Ish, like you said, it could have been more concise.
That's right. The holy, okay, very good. So now read the next Rashi.
So I've read a team. Chashuvim v'chen.
Chashuvim, that's what it means. Important people.
Ah, okay. V'chen Shmuel Aleph Aleph. Ben Tocho Ben Sof. FRT.
And then it gives you the French word for
Bignouche.
Yeah, whatever. For that's a Chashuv guy.
Okay. So he was Chashuvim Mechen, and he was the son of.
So similarly in Shmuel, we have a similar pasuk. This is not about Elimelech, but it's about Chana's husband, Shmuel's father, Elkanah.
Okay.
So there it calls him also. And Ephrasi. Mm-hmm. He's the son of Tohu, the son of Tzuf, and Ephrasi. Okay.
And he's saying that's a
Ebginus, which is Chashuv. Everybody knows in French that must mean a nobleman.
Alright, so Ra Chashuvetosha Rei Ha
Hasi.
Eglon Melech Moav et Beto Lemachson
Machlon.
Lemachlon. Oh yeah. Lemachlon de Amar Marut Beto Shaglon Haita. De Amar.
Re'eh is translated phrase. Re'eh Chashivuto.
They saw it as important.
Now, see is important for us. Rashi says, look, I can show you how important he is. Shaharei heisi eglon melech Moav espito lemachlon.
No idea.
Because Eglon, the king of Moab, married off his daughter to Machlon. Machlon was one of Elimelech's two sons, right?
Okay.
The Amar Mar, because the Tana says, Rus bito shel Eglon Isa. Rus was a daughter of Eglon.
Okay. So Elimelech was her grandpa.
Elimelech was her father-in-law.
Was her father-in-law. All right. She.
And that's in not everybody gets to marry royalty. So if he married royalty, it must. If his son married royalty, that indicates that he must have been
a chashuv guy. Okay, Damar.
Davar Acher.
Another thing, Ephratim Beit Lechem Kari Ephrat. Another thing is that the word Ephratim also means Beit Lechem, which was called Ephrat.
Yeah. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you a question on the first shot. Okay. Rashi says Ephratim means Chashubim. And he says, and likewise we have a pasuk that says about somebody else, Ben Tohu Ben Suf Ephrasi, which means. Avginus, whatever. Okay. Now, my question to you is, all over the place, when Rashi is dealing with meanings of words, which he does quite often, especially unusual words, rare words, right? He'll bring other psukim to support his interpretation.
Okay.
Now, when he brings a pasuk that supports his interpretation, the meaning is clearer from the context of the other pasuk than it is from our pasuk, or else it's not a proof. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my question is, what does this pasuk in Shmuel prove? How do I know that Ephrasi means a nobleman from that pasuk? It just says he's an Ephrasi. Ephrasi can mean a milkman. I don't know.
Right.
The pasuk doesn't prove anything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. So I've got an answer. And that is, you find, I can give you sources if you want, but you find Rashi in other places. Normally, when a pasuk introduces a character, describes a character, just calls him by his father's name. So-and-so, Ben so-and-so.
Okay?
If you go to his grandfather, then, generally speaking, that shows
Chashuv,
the good family. So that from, since that's a grandfather pasuk, and then it says Ephrati, right? That indicates that we're talking about Yes. Okay. Now, on the Davar Acher, I've got a problem and I don't give an answer. Davar Acher says Ephratim. It's no coincidence, I guess Rabbi Riskin named the place, that the town of Ephrat is right next to Beit Lechem. It's not a coincidence at all, right? As we know from even in Chumash, where Rachel Imenu dies, it says Ephros e Beis Lechem. So, you know, Ephros means Beis Lechem. But, good. It's not a bold shot on Rashi's part. It's, you know, he doesn't have to prove that Ephrasim is Islechem. But if that's what Ephrasim means, the word just doesn't seem to tell you anything. Look back in the pasuk.
Ephratim mi Beit Lechem.
Ephratim mi Beit Lechem. Yeah, Ephrasim is Beit Lechem. It's like saying they're Bethlehemites from Beit Lechem. That's so redundant. And Rashi doesn't even deal with that. Okay, that's a problem. Okay, I don't have an answer. Onward, Pasuk Gimel.
Okay. Ve'emah Elimelech ish Naami ve'tisha'er hi ishnei b'neha. So, Naami's husband, Elimelech, died and remained with her two sons.
She remained and her two sons.
She remained and her two sons. Right.
Okay.
So, ish Naami. So, Naami's wife. Right.
Husband.
Yeah.
I'm glad you translated it that way, because you'll appreciate better what Rashi's doing. Go ahead. But you made a little mistake, which is perfectly understandable. No, you made a mistake which is perfectly understandable, and we will elaborate on your mistake in a minute. Ish Naami, go ahead.
Okay, so Lama Namar Mikan Amru En Ishme Ela Leishto.
Ein ish mit ela leishto.
So why does it say here that it says ein ish mit ela leishto? Because
no, it punctuated differently. Lama ne'amar.
Why does it say?
And the answer is mikan amru ein ish mit ela leishto. Okay. On the simple level, what did Rashi? What was Rashi's question? What was Rashi's answer?
Why does it say it like ish na'amar?
Why shouldn't it say it?
Because it makes it like that she was like more powerful.
No. There's a much better reason. Read Pasuk Beis and read Pasuk Gimel. Read them together. You've read enough. Now read, go to Pasuk Gimel. Now do you see the problem that Rashi's raising? It said that the man was Elimelech and his wife is Nami. So I know Elimelech is Nami's husband.
Right.
Why do I have to say again that he's Nami's husband? I know that already. A pasuk ago you told me. What's Rashi's answer?
Okay. That says
Mikan Amru
in Ishmet Elalishta. Not sure what that is trying to say. It says here that man didn't die.
A man does not die except for his wife. A man dies for nobody but his wife. In other words, when a husband dies, the one who really feels it
is the wife.
Today is Sunday?
True.
Today is Sunday, 5:30. A week ago, exactly, 5:30, a student of mine from Yesod HaTorah was getting married, and he asked me to speak under the chuppah. A week ago, 5:30, yeah, right? And at that very time, funeral of one of my best friends, 20 minutes away, here in the cemetery right in front of Beit Shemesh, but I couldn't go, I was already committed, right? I was able to menachem Oval by his wife after the wedding, right? I saw this pasuk. She was, well, what you'd expect. Anyhow, okay. So Rashi's question and answer. The question is, why do we have to identify Elimelech as Noemi's husband when we were told that they were married in the last pasuk?
Mm-hmm.
So his answer is, this tells you something. Vayamos Elimelech ish Nomi. The main dying of Elimelech is a human being and has many roles, many relationships. But the most intense feeling of the death was in his role as a husband. Now, I'm going to hit you with a rule that we learned months ago.
Okay.
What rule am I going to hit you with? When Rashi asks an explicit question.
Right? There's going to be another.
He could have left out the words lama ne'amar.
Right.
He could have just said, mikan amru. Is he asking you? What do I have to say ishnami for? Right? No, he says lama ne'amar. So that means there's something between the lines.
More chashuv.
Right. Now remember how you translated the heading of this Rashi, ishnami, Nomi's husband. You know why you did that? I will go through your thought processes, and then you will understand the hidden question here. Because in all of Tanakh, you have women who are identified as the wife of X. There's not one other place in Tanakh, not one other place where a man is identified as the husband of Y. This is the only place that a man is described as so-and-so's husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's Rashi's hidden question. Mm-hmm. Why say that? Ooh, because the Torah here wants to tell us this psychological and emotional truth that when husbands die, the one who really gets hit is the wife, the widow. Yeah.
So how come I didn't say that somewhere else when the husband died?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably because Nomi is the most miserable widow in all time.
Yes, you're right. Okay. And we see it.
Yeah.
That's a good point. All right, good answer.
All right.
All right, so... Dam Shnehem.
Oh, did we learn that pasuk?
It's going to... Is it?
Gimel, but it's not. The say that?
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't say it. You got to learn. Where is this? And we just said this number left out. Where is Gamshenehem? I just saw it a second ago, I think. So read Dalton. Hey, go ahead.
Okay. Vesu lahem nashim
Moabios.
Moabios. Shema achat orpa v'shema shnei ru v'yishvu sham ke esher shanim. So I guess they married. They wed them women from Avios. Moabite woman.
Right.
And one of their name was Orpa, and one of their name was, the second one was Ruth. And they settled there for 10 years.
Okay. No Rashi, go ahead.
Okay. So v'yamutu gam shnehem, and both of them died. Machlon v'chilion v'tishar hisha mishnei yaldeha umisha, and remained was the woman and her two sons.
There remained the woman. The woman remained from her two sons and from her husband. From that whole family, she was all that was left.
Okay, i.e. Naomi. Right.
Right.
Okay, so now the pshat question is, why would it say gam shnehem? First of all, it says gam, so that might be a problem.
Okay.
And second of all, it just says machlon v'chilion right next to it.
Oh, you've taken away all I have to say about the next Rashi. Read the next Rashi, and we'll expand a little bit on what you said.
Okay, so gam shnehem, pasuke.
Yeah.
Mahu gam bat chila laku be munam metu gam lahem umeknehem v'harkach metu gamhem. All right, you're going to have to... Mahu, what is gam in the tchila?
Mahu gam. So, what is meant by gam? The two of them also died. What do you need this also for? Yeah, we know it.
So, first of all, that's a question.
That's a question. Good, your eyes are open.
Yeah, it took me a few minutes.
Yeah, you just got to train yourself to keep yourself. Right. Okay.
Okay. So, but tchila in the beginning, they took.
Laku. No, not laku, laku.
I don't know what laku means.
They were struck, like Malchus.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So they were struck by Mamonum. That's not the... I don't know.
To their property. Mamon was money or property.
Right. Okay, fine. Interesting, because before... He left because of the money.
Good point.
So, okay. So, metu gam lahem umeknehem. And they died. Guessing.
Metu. Don't translate metu by itself. Gam lahem umeknehem is the subject of metu. Gamalehem umeknehem. And there are camels and livestock.
Oh, it does mean camels. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, I couldn't fit it into context. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, fine. So the camels and their livestock died, and also
afterwards
they died.
They died.
They followed suit.
So it doesn't mean the question is what is also. This pasuk is perfectly fine without also, and his answer is that also implies in addition to their livestock and camels. But now, what's the other question? And you asked it before.
It says the names right after.
So therefore.
Therefore, it's insignificant. Therefore, it's...
You asked it before.
I'm a hit guy, and then I leave it. The question. Why is Rashi...
What's the hidden question?
Yeah.
The question he asks is, what do I need that word gum for?
Right. So there must be something deeper to it.
Nah, there must be another question.
Another question, right.
The question must be deeper. You said it before.
Why it says machlon v'chilion?
No, that's who died.
No, why it says gam shnehem and machlon?
So it's also the word. It's not just gam that's extra.
It's shnehem.
Shnehem is extra. Right. Both of them. If it is, and also both of them died. So Rashi says, what do I need also for? But really, there's another question. What do you need both of them for? You're mentioning them by name, right?
Right.
Now here it gets tricky. I can understand how Rashi's answer that their camels died takes care of the gam. There's something additional there.
Agreed.
how does his answer take care of the Shnehem, if we're right that that's the unspoken question?
That we consider the livestock's death and camel's death just as much as we consider their death.
I mean, that's certainly not true, because when animals die, it's not when humans die, but I think you're on the right track. And that is, it's telling you that their livestock died because of them. You know, first God gets you for your livestock. For your Aveira. It's not a coincidence. It's not that the herd got old and passed away. No. Shnehem. This is part of the process that gets to their deaths. Mm-hmm. The livestock is the first step towards you.
Right. That's good.
Okay. Onward.
Okay. So
Vav, Vav and Zion.
Okay, but come he the Choteha v'toshav misdei Moav ki shama besdei Moav ki fakad Hashem etamol atet lahem lechem. So they got up. She got up.
Yeah, she got up. She got up. Yeah, she and her daughters-in-law.
V'Choteha is daughters-in-law.
Kaloteha is her daughters-in-law.
Okay. Yeah. And they returned from the fields of Moab.
Mm-hmm. She returned.
Okay. Yeah. Because she heard. Because she heard then the.
In the fields of Moab.
That Hashem was Pakad.
Pakad. He made a reckoning. He took into account.
At her nation?
His nation. Hashem.
Okay. So basically her hometown was. Had bread again.
That's right. She heard and decided to go back home.
All right, that's nothing wrong with that. V'tzitzem min ha'makom, she went from the place. Asher hayta shama, that was there. Ishtei klata, and her two daughters-in-law Ima were with her. V'telechna b'derech, and they went in the path l'shuv el eretz Yehuda, to return to the land of Yehuda. So my main question, if I didn't look at Rashi, was why did it say to Eretz Yehuda? Why not say like Beit Lechem or something? Why was it not specific?
That's an interesting question. If I'm here on Shavuos, I'll speak about it on Shavuos. If I'm not here, I'm not here on Shavuos, I'll speak about it. I mean, I never thought of this question, but my Shavuos talk will answer that question too. So the Sunday before Shavuos.
Okay.
But try to remember the question, because at the end of the day, what I have to, you know, my Shavuos class will take care of that.
All right, I'll try to remember.
Okay.
Okay, so let's that send me namakom. That's also something that is not being so specific. Before we're being very specific, and now we're saying that she's leaving. First of all, it's singular, Vateitze. Yeah?
Yeah. And Rashi doesn't deal with that.
Really?
You know, the other Mephorshim deal with it. There's Nomi and her daughters-in-law are doing all this, yet the verbs are all just Nomi. That says something. Rashi's not relating to that, but there's a really great sefer on Shavuos. Deserves to be more popular than it is. In Hebrew, it's called Nachlas Yosef, and I know it's been translated into English. Rabbi Leib Kellerman translated it into English. The author's name is Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz. He goes through. You know, I don't like Moser Svarim. I really don't. I like Hasidish Svarim. You know, it's not a critique. It's what talks to me.
Okay.
Rabbi Yosef Lipovitz is a student of Slabodka, a Baal Musar,
right.
And he went through Megillas Rus, a Musar Pirush. Such good pshat. I love it. I've gone through it more than once.
And you read the Hebrew one?
I read the Hebrew one. The Hebrew one's quite easy. If you can, you'd have trouble with it. The English one, you can rely on Rabbi Kellerman. He's a good translator.
Okay, because I've been pushing myself with Hebrew lately.
Awesome. Try the Hebrew. Nachlas Yosef. It's cheap. You'll get it for 20 shekels or something.
Okay. Yeah.
Nachlas Yosef. It's a very pretty Hebrew. Not real literary. You know, you might go through the dictionary once in a while, but it's not highfalutin. But so, very pretty, very clear. He lived in Israel, and he really knew his Hebrew.
Yeah.
Litvaks, some of them, back in Litva, they learned Hebrew, and they knew it really well.
Oh, yeah. So I'm buying, now, unless it's like a really, really good English book, I'm only buying Hebrew books.
Good for you. Good for you.
To be in chutzah,
yeah. But in YU, your Hebrew is going to improve. Binghamton, where's your Hebrew going to improve from? All right. Anyhow. She left the place.
So Lama so here comes another question. Lama Nomar Hare.
Lama Nemar.
Where does it say this?
Right.
So that's another question. This I haven't seen too many questions.
This is there are two places in all of Tanakh when Rashi has them one after the other.
Yeah.
This we're not done yet. One after the other after the other. This and at the beginning of Sefer Devarim.
I don't know.
Just worked out that way.
So Lama Nemar. What does it say? Hare Kfar Nemar Batashev Misdei Moav. It already has said that they return from the fields of Moab. The Machechan Tashuv Imlo Imlo Teitze Amin Amakom.
Shahaitasha.
So, is it Nemar Tashev that they return? And from where do they answer?
And from where should she return if she doesn't leave the place where she had been?
Right. Shaita Ela, rather it's here, Magid, it's here to tell us.
Right.
She Yitziyat Tzadik Min HaMakom, that a Tzadik left this place.
When, the leaving of a Tzadik from a place, when a Tzadik leaves a place.
Nikares.
It's noticeable.
It's noticeable, right. That's true. Roshem, and their heads.
And it leaves an impression. It makes an impression.
Okay. So, Pana Zuya, Pana Hadara, Pana Shivcha, Shel Ir, Veken, Veitza Yaakov, Mebe Er Sheva. So now he's going to bring another proof like what we were talking about before. And, so she's like, I'm not sure. Zuya pana.
Pana ziva, its glow turns away. Pana hadara, its splendor turns away, and its praise turns away.
Of
the city, all these things go away when the tzaddik leaves.
Hadara was Rachel.
Ah, very good.
And Sheva, like from Shmuel Esrei.
Okay.
Okay. Vehen veinach Yaakov, and it says in Rishi, veitze Yaakov mebe'er Sheva, that Yaakov left from Be'er Sheva. How does this? This is a troubling Rashi for me.
Okay.
It says veitze Yaakov mebe'er Sheva, but over here it just says vetitzimin amakom.
Aha. Oh, that's interesting. Let's see.
So how is that comparing? Is it saying that? She wasn't the Sadiq, so it actually became a greater place?
No.
I don't think it's saying
certainly
that.
Not. Well, we've mentioned, we've named the place in the preceding pasuk.
Agreed.
The field of the Moab.
Okay.
But why the... No, let's see what he's... Leaving your question aside, what he is doing is saying, with this last part, he's saying you have the same, similar question in Bereishis. It says, really, it would have been a little bit clearer if you would have quoted the next two words in the pasuk. It says, "Vayetse Yaakov mibe'er Sheva, vayelech Charana." Yaakov departed from Be'er Sheva and he went to Charan. Okay. Well, it could have just said he went to Charan, right? But you see, why did he say he left Be'er Sheva? Because Be'er Sheva is not the same anymore.
Right. Understand.
Okay. So now you're asking, how come? It calls it here Min HaMakom. It doesn't mention it by name,
right? Because I feel like that makes it more significant than name.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning because you're not like when you say when you quote rabbis, Hasidus rabbis, you always say the name of the place from Brisk, from that. It's showing significance of that place. It says Mikon. The rabbi that was from there.
You know what? I'd say that that could be one of the hidden questions of Rashi.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what the answer is. You see, when Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva, it's noteworthy because Tzadik leaves, things change. But it's still Be'er Sheva because Yitzchak and Rivka still live there.
Okay?
When she leaves, it's a nameless place. The place doesn't have a name anymore. Yaakov, it's still Be'er Sheva. You know, it's not like they're not in the major leagues anymore, right? But with no name, it's just a place. It's completely nondescript. It's very good.
Okay. All right. So then, yeah. Is that the only hidden question we have?
I had a different one, but I like this one better. what's the, let me see if I remember what the hidden one is. Yeah, I'll tell you why I like this one better.
Okay.
I'll tell you what my hidden one is. My hidden one is not bad, but I'll tell you why I like this one better. Because Rashi says his heading is Vatetsemin Makom. And he has Laman Emar. Well, I would have another question. Why just Laman Emar Vatetsemin? She left the place. The next words are even worse. Where she had been.
Yeah.
Of course.
She was
right? So I was going to say that's the unspoken question.
Uh-huh.
But really, if that were the problem, Rashi should have had that in his heading.
Right.
And he doesn't. So that's why I like yours better. That's why I like yours better.
So do we have an answer then for where Asher Hayta Shama is?
Maybe that's a third degree. That's icing on the cake.
Okay, good.
Beseder, we'll call quits now, and we will Emir Sashem lean to review this the beginning of next month.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Great.
Leading into these are good rashes. I worked on Megillus once. I have a lot written on it.
Okay.
Baruch Hashem, we'll get through it. A lot of interesting things to talk about, and it's small enough we can finish it.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, maybe the guys want to listen to the tape. If they listen to the recording, we can just move on to the next thing next time.